Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching is going to be on the believer's authority. Now, we will be teaching you the authority of the believer in Christ. If you're a Christian, you can do great and mighty things that most of us don't know. It took me a long time to learn this. Now, at the end of this teaching, there will be a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings in their entirety, and they will be free and postpaid. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
And then after I said, praise the Lord, I said, today what I'm going to do, if I hit this thumb one more time before dark, I'm going to the house and let y'all have it today. Four times in one day is all I can stand. But was the devil trying to put me to the test? Yes, he was. And he was putting some pain on me, I can assure you. He was there. He was there kicking that big long screw out of that and said, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show you, God, this guy's going to get upset at you before the day's over. And the fourth time when I busted it wide open and blood come gushing out, I said, praise the King. Praise the Lord. See? So did he do that to me? No, absolutely not. God did not do it to me. Now then, this next set of verses is going to tell us what weapons to use against the devil. We know what we've got to do. Paul clearly told us what we have to do. Do we have to walk in truth? I mean, if you want to keep this, do you have to walk in peace? Yes. Do you have to walk in righteousness? Yes. Do you have to walk in faith? Yes. So to walk in faith, what do you must know before you can walk in faith? The Word. You must have the Word in your heart. If you have less than 100 scriptures committed to memory, you have very little faith. Very little. If you have less than 100, you have very little faith. Now then, if I can sit down with you this afternoon, and you and I can start talking about God's Word, and I can take you through a healing, and I've sat down with two people, one-on-one, and I can teach you for 5 solid hours and never miss a scripture and never need to open my Bible, do you have a little faith hidden in your heart? Yes. I've done that many times. Many times. Teach people the Word of God for hour after hour after hour. I've taught healing schools before without an outline and never even need anything to refer to. But today I'm going to try to teach something in an order. So, and I mean, in an order. Of course, God, you know, He gets in there and sometimes He throws my order all out. But that's okay. Whatever He wants to do, it's His business. Everything is about the Lord. Now then, the weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. That's where we're going to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does it mean when it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? What are carnal weapons? Knives, guns, bombs, ropes, wicked things that people use to hurt each other. So that's not the kind of weapons we're going to use as Christians, are we? No, we absolutely never, never pull a knife on somebody, never hurt anybody, never hit anybody. We don't use any kind of a carnal weapon to do damage. If you get mad at a Christian and you punch him in the face, what have you just done? You just sinned. You should never hit a human being. If you're a man and you ever laid a hands on your wife, I'm going to tell you, God's going to hold you accountable for what you've done. If you're a woman and you ever slapped your husband, God's going to hold you accountable for what you did. Because if, let's just say you are a woman and you're a woman of God. And let's say your husband is a man of God. And you got mad at him and you slapped him. Who did you just slap in the face? God, that's right. You just slapped Jesus because Christ in him, the hope of glory. When you begin to get a hold of that, of who you're dealing with here, it'll change the way you do business. You'll start seeing every human being as a child of the King. And you'll start walking holy before God and before mankind. Then he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, when the thoughts come to your mind, what's the first thing you should do before you act on a thought? Think about it. Think, where did this thought come from? Would this glorify God? You know, is this come from me, or did this come from the enemy? Because your mind, which is a battleground, is going to receive these inputs from three sources. Now then, you don't want to yield to the thought if it comes from the devil, do you? Now, if you're a young man And this seems to be what's going on so much in the world today. If you're a young man, you're sitting home and you're watching television, you're flipping through the channels, and you come up onto one of these wicked places where they've got one of these talk shows, and everybody's up there talking bad about each other, and fights and squabbles and all this kind of stuff's going on the screen, and you want to stop and meditate on that a little while, guess where that thought come from? It definitely come from the devil. It didn't come from God. I mean, I cannot believe the trash that's on the television today. I mean, just flipping between channels is all I need. I ain't going to stop and meditate on none of them. Or the nudity that's on the television. I mean, it's unbelievable what the devil has done. I mean, and we as Christians are buying into this thing. Just like, praise God for our president. For the first time, a man of God, the last 8 years we've had a man in the president's office that would just absolutely, he would say gays and all kinds of homosexual activities are good. And he turned to the Christians and say, no, 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 no. And then go over and tell them it's okay. And be on both the same television channel. If I ever seen a man that spoke out of both sides of his mouth and both of them was a lie, it was that man. You know, it was awesome what he did. But the devil controlled him, you know. But now then we got a man in there, President Bush, praise God. He says, a marriage should be between one man and one woman. And I praise the King for that. One man and one woman. I mean, it does not take a rocket scientist to understand when God says that whenever a man lies with a man as with a woman, it's an abomination to me. I mean, when I heard somebody here a while back say, you know, being a gay person is not in the Bible. There's no such thing as homosexuals. I said, well, in the King James, that's true. But I said, what is it you don't understand about this? God didn't use the word homosexual because of 6-year-old boy wouldn't know what that was, as a rule. But I said, when he says, when a man lies with a man as with a woman, it's an abomination to God. I said, even a 6-year-old boy knows better than that. He knows what that means by the time he's 6. So I said, God made it real simple. So if God says, if a woman lies with a woman or a man lies with a man, it's an abomination to God, do you think God likes homosexuality? No. Do you think God likes for men and women? Men and women having sex with a different partner, do you think he likes that? When he came down, when Moses came down off of the mountain, when the 1 million or 2 million people were out there having a party at the base of the mountain, and that's what they were doing, having an orgy. People were naked and drunk and everything else and worshiping a golden idol that the priest, which was Aaron, had put together. When Moses walked up and saw that and he threw the Ten Commandments down and broke those plates that God had just did, the death angel was turned loose by God. And how many people died before Moses could intercede and stop it? 23,000 people. I can just see those people laying out there having sex and everything else. And all of a sudden, the guy laying on top of a woman, he's dead. She's dead right under him. And they're just falling. 23,000 of them. How would you like to be at a party like that? No, 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 not me. No, not me. I ain't going to be in that party. I ain't going to have nothing to do with that party. I'm going to do it like God said. Now then, God said, one man and one woman, I made you. And then he said, you can have a sexual relationship. And he said, I expect you to enjoy it between one man and one woman. And then he said, I'm going to put one day out of that month for that you can reproduce. The rest of the time, it's just there for you to have fun. Isn't that amazing? That's the way God made you. You know, it's amazing how God made us. But he expects us to do what he says in his word. Then he says, I'm going to read this same set of scriptures to you in the Living Bible. I read this. This absolutely rocked my world when I read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6, and 7 in the Living Bible. It says, I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men. Boy, that's clear, isn't it? To knock down the devil's strongholds. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding Him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ. Wow. Woo! Is that awesome?
Yes.
I will use these weapons. Get a hold of this now. I will use these weapons against every rebel who remains after I have first used them against you yourselves and you surrender to Christ. The trouble with you is that you look at me and I seem weak and powerless, but you don't look beneath the surface. Yet if anyone can claim the power and authority of Christ, I certainly can. Do you think Paul knew who he was? Do you think he knew what his spiritual authority was? Now then, when you take a man, when I learned that verse, I'll just tell you right here a story about a man. When I learned these things, I walked up one day and to a group of men that worked for me, and they worked at night shifts, so they come in at 10:30 at night and went home at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I hardly ever saw none of these guys, because I come in about 7 and went home about 7 at night. You know, 12 hours for one guy, and, you know, is enough, I think, usually, unless something happens. But anyway, I thought one night I'll come in and stay in till 10:30, 11 o'clock, meet these guys. Since I have 3 shifts of men, I at least need to know who's working for me. And I was talking to them all and meeting them and talking to them, asking them where they go to church, do you believe in Jesus and all that stuff. And some of them say yes, you know. I wound up walked up to this one guy and I said, how are you? He said, my name's Thurman Scrivener. And he said, well, my name's so-and-so. And I said, where do you go to church? Boy, like a bomb went off in him. I don't go to no blankety-blank church. If I wanted to be priesthood, I'd blankety-blank go to a blankety-blank church. I said, what's your name again? He told me, he said, what do you want my name for? I said, you're saved and don't know it. Now, what did Paul tell me I could do right there? I could take them rebels and I could catch myself up into the third heaven and I got complete authority and power over that devil. Who's blinding his mind? The devil. So the next morning on the way to work, this is about 8 years ago now, the next morning on the way to work, driving down the road in my pickup, I said, Lord, I catch myself up into the third heaven where I'm seated in Christ in the third heaven. I said, Jesus, I want you, my brother, to walk into the throne room of God with me this morning. I have a request. I walked in and I said, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you, Father, that you're my God, that you give me the power and authority to come into your throne room with my brother Jesus by the blood of Jesus anytime I want to. I want to thank you for that, Lord. And then I said, now, Father, I want to call the devil that's right over here, the other attorney, the best attorney in the universe except for my brother Jesus. I want to call that beast in and I've got a word for him. I know you said he's standing before the throne of God accusing us day and night. So I know he's right there. So I said, Satan, get yourself in here in the name of Jesus. I said, Luke 10:20 says, you have to be subject to me in the name of Jesus. I said, get in here. I have a word for you.
We'll have to stop the teaching right there today, but we will take up right there tomorrow. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for the continuation of the teaching on the believer's authority. Now, if you'd like to have this teaching in its entirety, we would be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. If you will call this phone number, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or if you'll contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. We'll be happy to send you these teachings free and postpaid. I hope you've enjoyed and will continue to enjoy the teachings on the believer's authority. Remember, they're free and postpaid to those that call.